from PGA to where you should play. This is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Jeff Meller filling in for Tyler, but Mike Gilligan is here, so never fear. This is the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Been talking a lot about the results of the Open last week, Brian Harman's win at Liverpool Royal, and also the Ryder Cup implications, just exactly who could be on the outs for the U.S. team, Zach Johnson's selections, what actually is going to be, you know, a very difficult decision, which, as Mike has already pointed out, is a good thing for U.S. golf. You want to have difficult decisions because ultimately that means that the team is in a good spot. And we just did briefly mention Jay Monahan's memo, which certainly was interesting this past week in regards to the upcoming PGA Live PIF merger, trying to find out more details for next season, what exactly it entails. And Mike, what were your first reactions to the memo when you read about it?
Well, you know, we learned a little bit, not a whole lot, but we did, you know, realize or learn, again, the framework agreement, it's still ongoing. But what we did learn, though, that I think is good news to the PGA Tour players is they're working to present what we call a player benefit program to be aimed at providing the people that were loyal to the PGA Tour, those players, with a, quote, financially significant system of repaying players for not defecting. So they still have to come up with how that's going to look like, what that's going to sound like, and how that's all going to be determined, but that there is the spirit of the agreement that these guys, for staying loyal to the PGA Tour, are going to be compensated or rewarded as such. The other thing that we found out that they're going to develop a new task force, and it's going to be aimed at developing the potential pathways back to the PGA Tour for LIV players who wish to reapply in the future, which that's going to be interesting because early indicators are that a lot of the players that are on LIV that could come back really aren't interested in coming back. And I think they're saying that, though, while they still think there's always going to be a LIV tour for them to play on. Mm-hmm. I think if that ever does get dissolved and taken away, I think those attitudes will change. But it's going to remain to be seen in how they're going to impose what kind of penalties for these people to come back, and if there are in fact going to be financial penalties. Because if they're going to reward and pay the Americans, I don't know how much you can really, you know, fine players of sort, other than maybe, you know, not necessarily for what they accepted, but just a demerit system, if you will, for simply leaving and their conduct as such. So, you know, what will those penalties look like and how will they be figured out? Well, they have decided to hire Jason Gore. Jason Gore, who's actually a 7-time winner on the Korn Ferry, but back then it was the Web.com Tour and maybe it was the Nike or Hogan Tour back in his day. But he's a 7-time winner on this circuit. But he's going to be the chief player officer to lead the task force, mm-hmm, and to help come up with these things. And Jason is a very trusted individual by the players' perspective. If you remember or recognize the name, Jason also worked with the USGA when the golf course was being set up in ways that seemed to be, I guess the best word to describe it, diabolical. So Jason brought the player's perspective into the equation and had worked with the USGA for the past several Opens and creating a venue that was a playable golf course, a course that, you know, was fair but was still embodying U.S. Open conditions. So, mm-hmm, Jason has moved over to the PGA Tour, and I think he's going to do a great job helping, you know, bring common sense, bring calm, and bringing peace to this situation. Then the last thing I think we took away, or at least I did, is the bold statement by the tour not supporting the USGA and the RNA in the joint golf ball rollback.
Yes.
You know, they basically said, in quotes, not able to support the rollback after there was significant belief among tour membership that the proposed rule was not warranted and not in the best interest of the game. And that's the statement by Monahan. And that is a major blow to both governing bodies because, you know, you start to cascade forward and you look at what's life going to be like. Well, gosh, you could actually see a day where the U.S. Open and the British Open play with a different golf ball that potentially is being played at the Masters and the British Open.
Yes.
Or the PGA Championship, I'm sorry. At the Masters and the PGA Championship, they might be able to play a different ball because if the PGA Tour is going to compete with the golf balls that they're playing today, but the governing bodies decide, uh-oh, we're going to go with this ball, you now have some weird situations. And with the USGA, if they were to go that far, the $64 million question among golf people out there is, where does it end and where does it begin? Because if it's a USGA event, are they going to play the US Amateur with the rolled back golf ball?
Mm-hmm.
Because if that's the case, then when are the collegiate guys going to play? Like, what are the guys at Arizona State and Auburn and all the major golf schools in and around the country, the Wake Forests of the world, the NCAA? So at what point do they make the transition from that ball over to the rolled back ball or vice versa? And so lot of questions, I guess, at the end of the day, to answer your question, what did I take from it? I took a few things, but there's still just so many questions out there. I guess in the end, we have an agreement to get to an agreement. But let me remind you, they have until the end of the year, or there's a clause in this particular agreement that's in place now that both sides could walk away. No lawsuits. They just agree to disagree, and they walk away, and there's no lawsuits. Now, I highly doubt that's going to be the case, but the clock is ticking, and believe it or not, it's going to be August 1st before you know it. So I think we're going to get a lot of questions answered over the next 60 days because, not because we want to, because they have to.
Mike, forgive me, but like, you know, just back to the ball real quick. Why do you believe the PGA Tour would not support this initiative, if you had to guess?
Well, yeah, I think it's several things. I think, you know, the manufacturers don't want to have to, you know, create another ball plant. So they're talking to the players. The players, I think, are coming at it from a perspective of what's wrong with the game? Like, where is it broken?
Yeah.
The game has never been more popular from a fan and an interest perspective. All of this rollout has nothing to do with us as amateur golfers out there. So the balls that we're playing today are going to still be the balls that we're going to get to play in the future. It is only for this specific part of the professional game. And honestly, I just think the players don't want to have to be dealing with another piece of equipment. And are these the right type of balls, the wrong balls? And I just think it adds more confusion to what they do on a day-in and day-out basis, where they go to practice. I mean, everything's going to have to be thought through, and it's going to be what I call cumbersome in that regard. So I just think that the players like where the game is. They love hitting it as far as they can. I don't think they agree that the ball is the issue, and I tend to agree a little bit more with Adam Scott after I learned his feeling on all of this, and he thinks it's the driver head is so darn big. Kind of reminds me of a little kid when we were kids, we had those big, fat, pink baseball bats.
Yep.
That you couldn't miss the wiffle ball, right?
Of course.
That's what these drivers now look like. And so I think if you were to take these drivers and shrink the heads back down to where they were back in the 80s and still make metal woods, but have a head that is much, much smaller. Well, your 130 mile an hour plus swing speed, good luck swinging that. I mean, and trying to keep it right on the face, keeping it, you know, right down the middle. The driver used to be the most difficult club in the bag to hit, the hardest to maneuver, the hardest to control. Now, for these guys, the driver is a go-to club. It's one of their favorite clubs in the bag, and it has a margin for error now that is so forgivable than that it has never been. And I think that's where these guys then can just get up with their swing speeds, the size of that driver, and pound it as far down the fairway as they can, or even in the rough for that matter, and just chunk it out with wedges and get that ball as close to the finish line as you can off the tee and then figure it out from there. So I think if they were to make the club head go back a little bit smaller and also narrow in the fairways.
Yeah.
I'm listening to the guys here at the NV5. They're shooting low scores out here because the fairways are so wide out here, because they have to be for the average player that's coming through here. But if you were to try to hold a U.S. Open here at the Glen Club, you would have to narrow these fairways in by a big, big margin. And once you do that, now all of a sudden the players will start to think twice about, you know, just stepping up with driver each and every time, assuming you've got rough that is, comparable for the conditions and the tournaments and the level to which they play.
He's Mike Gilligan. I'm Jeff Meller in for Tyler Rocky today on the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. We also did find out some revealings from the Senate investigation regarding PGA and LIV. No surprise here. Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, hot. Greg Norman, not.
Yep.
We'll talk about it next.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Of the CDGA Golf Show is sponsored by Golf Elgin, home of Bowles Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. I'm Jeff Meller in for Tyler Aki today, along with Mike Gilligan, as always. Mike out at the Glen Club right now for the Corn Ferry Tour event, hanging out there. How's it? How's the weather out there, Mike, right now?
The weather's actually, the clouds just sort of rolled in, which is kind of nice, actually. It's taken some of the heat away, and it's quite comfortable in comparison to feeling like a soft-boiled egg, as we all did yesterday. But, no, it's slightly overcast, but you can see the blue skies among the clouds out there, and it's going to be an absolute glorious day here today and tomorrow, for that matter. Mm-hmm. So, again, CDGA members, if you want to come out here, you know, you use the CDGA23 code, you can get $10 off grounds ticket. Instead of $20, they're only $10 for CDGA members. So if you have any thoughts about coming out here, today would be a fantastic day to come on out and get up close and literally watch some of the world's greatest players outside of those on the PGA Tour. These are the next superstars in the making. So, you know, the Glen Club is the place to be today and tomorrow. And I think the way this leaderboard is stacked up the way that it is, it's going to be a real, real fun weekend here. You know, the golf course was very vulnerable because, you know, for them, you have to remember, Jeff, this event used to always be played here Memorial Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really the best weather in the world for us because, let's face it, it's, you know, late May in Chicago.
Yep.
And it can be, heck, it could even snow late May around here for what we've seen. But in all seriousness, the weather here has been a bit of a challenge over the years. And by getting this new July date, this is the first time that the Glen Club has hosted this event in the month of July. So what changes? Well, the golf course changes quite a bit. So a May date allows the grass to be robust and, you know, thick, because it's just like your front lawn, right?
Yep.
But as we get into late July, and the weather that we'd been having up until most recently was no rain, this place almost looked yellow for a while. It was dried out, but the golf course was running hard, and it was running firm, and it was fast, and it was bouncy. Those are the conditions they wanted these players to be under. All of a sudden, we started getting rain, and we've gotten more rain. Good news is the golf course is as green as you might find if you went over to Ireland. But that's also the bad news. The scoring conditions here are absolutely ideal for guys of this caliber. And as a result, they had the lowest cut they've ever had. Seven under. You had to play seven under golf for 2 days to make the cut. So if you shot, you know, two rounds in the upper 60s, you're heading to O'Hare Airport and heading home this morning. So, you know, this golf course, unfortunately, wasn't able to hold up the first couple of days. And I have a sneaking suspicion today is going to be no different with the inch of rain we received last night. These guys are going to attack these pins. You can try to hide these as much as you want, but these guys can find them anywhere. And with greens holding like they are this late in July, with these kinds of conditions, and I have to tell you, the grounds, the agronomy team here at the Glen Club is among the very best in our district, and they have put out a product that they should be darn proud of. It's just unfortunately Mother Nature isn't allowing it to, you know, for the old girl to flex her muscles with these players. But, you know, they will have soft conditions, and when it gets soft, these guys will take advantage of it. But from a fan perspective, that's kind of fun. You're going to come out here and watch these guys execute shots that you could only dream of doing. And watch how these guys just make birdies like we try to make pars.
He's Mike Gilligan. I'm Jeff Meller. We were talking a little bit. Again, he's out at the Glen Club. So if you want to, if you were even on the fence, I think right there sold you. Get on out today and go check it out, because the weather is setting up for a fabulous day. And, of course, the scoring should be fantastic as well. So a good opportunity to get out if you were on the fence. No need. Get on out to the Glen Club and join Mike Gilligan out there today. We were talking about Jay Monahan's memo, which certainly did fuel some reactions. Interestingly enough, we also saw some of the findings from the Senate investigation. And I will say, I mean, no surprise that Xander Schauffele and Jordan Spieth both have said that Monahan has to earn back the trust of the players. I'm curious, do you think Jay Monahan is still the commissioner in 2 years from now?
Not as the commissioner as we know it. I think he's going to have a role in this partnership, but I don't think he's going to be the commissioner that he is today. I still think he will have a play in managing what we call this PIF partnership, or the investment side of this partnership, and I think that's where his day-to-day business is gonna stay. First and foremost, I should say that it's great to hear that Jay Monahan is back, and I think Jay Monahan has a lot of street credibility. Jay Monahan is a very smart man, and Jay Monahan does have the trust, although it is wavering. And as you mentioned, Xander Schauffele and Jordan said that they have to earn back some trust, because let's face it, this is a players association, and I think up until this point they've always been involved with how things are evolving, how things are being thought through, processed, created, and executed. And this is probably the first time that a situation, a topic, you know, an issue has been handled in the privacy and how secluded they were in going about and getting this deal done. As a result, I think some feelings were hurt, egos were bruised. And I think there's a lot of uncertainty. And I think if you look at your own job, your own career, and if, you know, your boss or somebody or a colleague or somebody comes along and gives you information that's a little unnerving, that's exactly what these guys did.
Yeah.
They're just trying to figure out, what's my future and how do I fit into this? Am I one of the top tier guys? Because not all PGA Tour players are looking at this at the same way. You got to remember, 48 guys better thank a lot of these guys that went to live, because that's how you got on the PGA Tour. But there's a lot of this that's going on that's talking about the top third and trying to keep them happy so that we're not seeing players getting poached by LIV anymore. Because let's face it, just before this merger happened, Brooks Koepka was speaking with Gary Woodland about jumping over and taking the spot of Matthew Wolff. And this thing came out on June 6th, the infamous June 6th.
Yes.
And at that point, all poaching and all recruiting has had to stop and has ceased since and will continue to be that way at least through the end of the year. And hopefully some form of an agreement will be in place. But, yeah, I mean, when they went to Washington, yeah, we found out a few other things that went on. But all of it very, very incredible and very intriguing. And the one thing I'll have to say, Jeff,
yep,
is, and I'll remind the listeners, Full Swing, if you caught that
Netflix,
series
yep,
on Netflix, Full Swing is filming literally today. And so this fall, we will actually get to see a behind the scenes as much as they will show us and be willing to share with us. But I am, that is going to be, you know, I was wondering, how are you going to ever top this first year of Full Swing? Well, now I know how they're going to do it. But
yeah, Mike,
it's going to be fascinating TV.
No, that's a great point. I don't even think whatever they do keep behind the scenes, they're just going to, there's going to be so much content at somehow, some way, there's going to be a lot of interest in this entire series. Because as you mentioned, like, I think about, for instance, a lot of times there's conversations about Hard Knocks having done it for, HBO's been it for like almost 20 years now, right? And has it run its course? It's very formulaic. And so some folks are like, eh, I don't know if I want to watch that anymore. Or there's been a lot of conversations about Netflix new series that just came out in the last month or so, Quarterback. And they were very fortunate because, you know, they've featured Patrick Mahomes, who went on to win the Super Bowl this year. So it's, you know, perfect for content purposes. If you're a golf fan and you enjoyed the first season, I don't know how, like, the drama, the intrigue that they're going to have with the entire LIV situation is, it's going to be unbelievable and must-see TV for anybody who even if you don't consume golf on a regular basis, I don't know how the drama won't pique some people's interest.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, you know, my wife, who, believe it or not, is not a big golf fan, she plays very little, she was hook, line, and sinker with Full Swing. In fact, I decided to go ahead and watch an episode without her. That's the last
uh-oh,
time I'll ever do that, guarantee,
uh-oh,
in season two. but, yeah, I mean, that's what the beauty of what they did and what they were able to accomplish is to get the average, you know, viewer,
yep,
not even golf fans, attracted to it. So, you know, obviously working with the CDGA, we're all about growing this game. And if Netflix can help bring new eyeballs to this great game and ultimately new players, that's just a wonderful thing. But as far as must-see TV and content and, you know, salacious in certain ways, we're going to get it all. We're going to get all of it this fall when this comes out. And I will be the first to be binge-watching, and I will not be watching it one at a time. Although I do wish they would put them out 1 week at a time.
Mike, you're speaking my language, man. Because
I can't control myself.
No, I'm so with you. There's something to be said for episodic television or just streaming, you know, because there you get to soak in the episode, and then you can go ahead and have a conversation with people. But when it all drops at once, while it's great, it feeds the addiction that we all have for good content. But the reality is that it does lose a little something when you can't savor every episode for whatever it is, a week or so, or even if it's two episodes that drop. I'm so with you there. I do prefer the episodic nature of old-fashioned television.
No doubt. And maybe they will do that, because I know that was a cry by a lot of the folks out there, and I think it would help extend some of the, you know, the post-wrap-up, the post-show discussion, whether it's out on social media or otherwise, or on talk shows. I think it's a healthier way for us to consume our TV, to be honest with you.
He's Mike Gilligan. I'm Jeff Meller in for Tyler Aki today. That portion of the CDGA Golf Show was brought to you by Golf Elgin Home of Bowes Creek Country Club and Highlands of Elgin. We still got plenty to do here. Do want to talk a little bit about Rory and Tiger, how they were hot commodities. We found that out. And again, I mentioned Greg Norman, probably to no surprise to many, was not. We'll talk a little bit about that. And also what's going on around the CDGA. Plenty to do here on the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
This portion of the CDGA Golf Show is brought to you by the PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of their three Chicagoland locations today. I'm Jeff Meller in for Tyler Aki today, along with Mike Gilligan, who's out at the Glen Club taking in the NV5 Invitational presented by Old National Bank at the Glen Club. Mike, I want to run down some leaderboards here. Should we start with the 3M or with you at the NV5? Where would you like to go?
Well, let's start here.
I like it.
Ryan McCormick and Wilson Fuhr, both, you know, sitting, waiting to get started here just in a short bit, are both 13 under. And then there's a gaggle of guys at 12 under. And, you know, it's funny. We've had three guys, Patrick Fishburne, who is one of the guys at 12 under, Ben Coles, who is the points leader, he's 11 under, and Cristobal Del Solar is 8 under, and those are the only three that for 36 holes have not even made a bogey.
Wow.
So they are really playing some good golf. And Ben Coles, who is 11 under, and again, the number one player right now in points and ranking on the Korn Ferry Tour with rounds of 66, 65, if he can win today, Jeff, or mm-hmm. win tomorrow, Jeff, he earns a spot on the PGA Tour through the three victory promotion ability to make it to the PGA Tour. He's got two wins. He wins here at the Glen Club, and he just gets catapulted to the PGA Tour.
You know what that would mean, Mike?
Some exciting things going on. A lot of little storylines going on. So if you get into Korn Ferry stuff, I mean, you start reading about these guys, they've all got some pretty cool stories, where they come from, what they're doing, how they go about doing it. It's really a fun thing to be around, and I can already see the fans are starting to come in the gates here, and it's a great scene to see.
Good stuff. If Ben Coles does qualify for the tour, he will be rolling in Coles cash.
Absolutely.
As for the PGA Tour, the 3M Open in the Twin Cities, Lee Hodges, currently your leader at 15 under. Set to go off about 11:37 today. Tyler Duncan is in second, 11 under, four strokes back. Kevin Streelman, JT Poston, Tony Finau, and Brant Snedeker are all 10 under, tied for third. And then we also have Emiliano Grillo. He's 9 under. David Lipsky, Billy Horschel are also 9 under. So they are tied for seventh. That is your leaderboard at the 3M Open in Twin Cities today. I'm Jeff Meller in for Tyler Aki along with Mike Gilligan. And so let's get to it. The Senate findings for the PGA Tour Live-PIF merger. So we found out, probably no surprise to most, but both Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy were very highly sought out. They were hot commodities, if you will. And Greg Norman certainly was not. They wanted him out. So your thoughts about, I mean, listen, that's no surprise to anybody that Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy would absolutely be, you know, the white whales, if you will.
Yes, they definitely were. The amount of money that they were allegedly offered is absurd. And, you know, you do have to give credit to both Rory and to Tiger for turning down just a gargantuan. We're talking at least $700-800 million to stay with the PGA Tour. And more importantly, I think both of these guys value legacy more than they do the dollar, mm-hmm. if you will. And, you know, so Rory has been very, very, very outspoken against Liv. Even after all that's been said, he still hates it, as he said. And I don't know that, in fact, he's made the comment that he'd rather retire than to go play LIV. I think if he, the LIV tour was the only tour left to play, he said he would retire and then just play the four majors the rest of his career. So there's a guy that is not going to be, you know, changing his mind anytime soon. But it was interesting, though, when we found out, though, among the things is that Rory met with the PIF leaders separately.
Mm-hmm.
So I noticed when this all came down, Rory was somewhat calm and cool and collected, and I expected him to be, you know, on the soapbox loud and proud saying how this isn't going to work and the whatnot. But I noticed that both he and Tiger were very, very quiet and never really, in fact, Tiger really hasn't been in the spotlight on any of this since it's all been unfolding due to his injury.
Yep.
But they met, Rory met with them separately, secretly. So we did find that out. So Rory, while he doesn't exactly like LIV, he's well aware, or at least in the know, more so than most, about what is in fact happening and where the future is looking and is starting to look pretty bright for guys on the PGA Tour, especially up in the Rory McIlroy caliber, or third of the tour, if you will.
We also found out that Randall Stephenson resigned from the PGA Tour board. Once the LIV deal was announced, he resigned over it, and so they are looking, they're going to have to fill his seat. And also, in no surprise, the way this was playing out. I'm sorry, go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just going to say, Randall was going to leave the moment this deal was announced in June, but shortly thereafter, Jay Monahan became ill. So the only reason that Mr. Stephenson decided to stay on as long as he did was out of respect, because Jay was out with his illness. So otherwise, he was so adamantly opposed to this, he wanted to leave the very next day but couldn't. So that kind of gives you a little glimpse and a little, you know, look into, not everything's peaches and cream, you know, with this whole thing, and not everybody's in an agreement as to where this is going and how it's being handled. And I think the resignation from Randall Stephenson is a very telling sign on certain levels as to where people's ethics and morals on all of this stand. You know, you look at a guy like Jimmy Dunn. I mean, he's very close to the 9/11 situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, by all accounts should have been in that building, but was in fact playing golf that day as a part of business. And that's what kept him from going into the trade towers that terrible day. But here's a guy that has come full circle, and he's the guy that's trying to make golf better and bring some calm and peace and civility to the situation that, you know, for a while there just seemed out of control. And it was out of control, to be honest with you. But at the same time, I just think that everybody's got a different opinion on all of this. And I think what I've learned more than anything in watching this is just to sort of sit back and let all the dust settle first before coming up with a very strong opinion one way or the other. Because, again, you'd be talking out of sheer ignorance if you think you know everything, because you certainly don't.
No, completely well said. We're too often quick to offer up opinions, and they're oftentimes ill-informed. So to get more information, certainly not a bad thing. And then finally, you know, Greg Norman, of course, again, this is no surprise at all, but the PGA Tour wanted him absolutely out if anything was going forward. Boy, Greg Norman, it's been an interesting career for him, I will say that.
Yeah, it really has. And, you know, it's ironic. Greg Norman, way back in the day, you know, had this idea about a world tour, and the PGA Tour told him, you know, don't go there, Greg, don't go there. And then the PGA Tour basically took his idea and created what we're seeing now with, you know, some of the, you know, the world golf events that are going on in and around the world. So ever since that time, Greg Norman has had a chip on his shoulder towards the PGA Tour. It's no secret. And, you know, so when this opportunity came up to be able to really, you know, give it back to the PGA Tour to come up with his basic idea and actually fulfill it in a way that he wanted to have see it come to fruition. He jumped at the chance, and he became the commissioner of this thing. Unfortunately, Greg Norman and the PGA Tour aren't the closest of friends, and so when you bring these two entities together to form a partnership, somebody's going to come out on the short end of the stick, and unfortunately, I think it's going to be Greg Norman. And but yeah, there's no bones about it. They would like to see this thing go forward without his involvement, but we will see. Because really, at the end of the day, you know, Jay Monahan, you know, and the PGA Tour chief operating officer Ron Price, you know, are going to have to make a decision on this whole team golf, mm-hmm. whether Liv even sticks around. And I honestly believe Jay when he says he will do a very thorough, in-depth review and study of this, and whether or not it's going to remain as part of the framework and product that they put forward in years to come. But, you know, after all said and done, if they fact cut it away, Greg's going with it. And even if they keep some piece of it, I highly doubt Greg Norman's going to have anything to do with whatever the final outcome is. And, you know, it's really too bad because Greg Norman was one heck of a player. And I really hate to see a guy like him ending his career or his legacy or his mark on the game in this way. But, you know, sometimes we have to sleep in the bed that we made.
I will say the team golf aspect, there's some certainly some appeal to it. I mean, part of the reason why we love the Ryder Cup, right, is the team aspect to it. I think there's something to be said for, you know, this could be very intriguing for a fan base that maybe is not, you know, your regular golf consumers. But you know, I don't know if it's workable when you consider, you know, the actual what the tour is versus trying to create teams. But I will tell you, like, just as a casual sports fan, there's some appeal to it for the idea of having, you know, teams that you follow. But again, it needs to be all encompassing. And I think the idea still needs to be fleshed out a bit.
I would agree with you. I do think that there is some hope for team golf, but I think you got to change it. You can't use clip art and come up with these crazy crushers and smashers and that kind of thing. But if you had a team based out of Chicago,
absolutely,
and we had our own Chicago tour players, and maybe we take the guys, for example, that are you know, playing at 3M this week that are from Illinois, Kevin Streelman, who's tied for third, right? Nick Hardy's tied for 14th, 7-under, and Dougie Gim tied for 33rd, 5-under. You could do it in that regard, or it's just Chicago has a team, just like we have the Chicago Sky, you know, and we're going to get players in, and who knows? Maybe Tiger Woods plays for Chicago. Maybe Brooks Koepka plays for Chicago. But all of a sudden, when you start bringing in more of the local geographical, because what you said about the Ryder Cup, why is the Ryder Cup popular? Because we're all Americans.
Yep.
We all have passion for the country we live in, with the patriotism and all that good stuff. If we have a team and we're going up against St. Louis in a golf match, we want to beat St. Louis just because, hey,
absolutely,
St. Louis. So, you know, so you create, I think, more geographical and division kind of stuff. I think that's how the team aspect of this game is going to be able to survive, and people can rally behind it because they can call those particular players on their team their own. Just like, you know, we're calling, you know, Danby Swanson. He's our shortstop. A couple of years ago, he was over on Atlanta. So he's now our guy. And I think that's how team golf would stand a chance in the United States. But who am I to say?
That's the voice of Mike Gilligan. I'm Jeff Meller in for Tyler Aki today. This portion of the CDGA Golf Show is brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of their three Chicagoland locations today. All right, we'll wrap things up, let you know what's going on around the CDGA coming up next.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
portion of the CDGA Golf Show is brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. I'm Jeff Meller in for Tyler Aki as we wrap things up today. Mike Gilligan is hanging out at the Glen Club taking in the NV5 Invitational, so go out and join him today. Mike, what else do we got going on around the CDGA?
Well, hopefully everyone's been enjoying the July magazine that arrived in everybody's home about a week or so ago. So great stories in there. A really good read this month, so check it out. As you mentioned, we do have the NV5 Round 3 has just gotten underway here. Just to my left, the first tee, the balls are being struck as we talk. So that'll conclude. And I'll tell you what, the Western Golf Association's having a busy, busy week. They've got this event today, but then tomorrow, the Western Amateur starts just down the street in Glenview at the North Shore Country Club. And then after that, then they have the BMW next month in August over at Olympia Field. So the next few weeks for the WGA has been very busy, but they've been doing a terrific, terrific job. They're putting on one heck of a show here, and I can only imagine what's going to be in store at North Shore as well as at Olympia Fields. The CDGA Net Better Ball will be played. We have another qualifier at Rolling Green. That'll be tomorrow, or I'm sorry, on Monday. And then on Friday, we have the four-person scramble qualifier down in Bloomington at the Den. So we're going to be making a visit down to Central Illinois for that. The Illinois State Mid-Am qualifiers, we've got two of them this week. Wednesday, we're at Water's Edge Golf Club in Worth, Illinois. And then Thursday, we're at Balmoral Woods Country Club down in Crete. So we've got those two qualifiers leading up to the actual Illinois State Mid-Am Championship.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Thursday, the U.S. Senior Women's qualifying is going on at Mistwood. So lots of qualifiers, lots of competitions this week if you're a CDGA member, to either a tournament player or a social competitor, to come on out and enjoy. But good luck to everybody. As a CDGA member, you get a variety of member perks, and I may have mentioned earlier in the telecast today, the NV5 Championship, CDGA members, you have an opportunity to receive $10 off tickets to the popular Hangar. The Hangar offers access to private open-air venue with exceptional views behind the 18th green, which is right here to my left, a full lunch buffet, premium bar, service, preferred parking, and more are included. CDGA members can use the code CDGA23 when purchasing, and you will get your discount. So come on out. It's going to be a great day, and bring some friends, and make sure you bring your sunscreen. Looking for a good lunch today? Go on over to Jersey Mike's.
You CDGA beat me
members
to it, Mike.
$2 off any sandwich.
I highly recommend it. As always, when no guests today, but of course, whenever we do have guests, they join us on the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above.
Mike's
I think
hotline.
I'm gonna go hit up Jersey Mike's as we conclude here after the show, and use that CDGA golf membership for the $2 off.
There you go. I would suggest number 8 Mike's Way. Never can go wrong with that one. For those who want to get out of the heat and get out of the rain, X Golf has now 13 locations in Chicago. CDG members, you get 10% off of that. And if you're looking to play golf outside, Fox Bend is offering a twosome special, $80, including cart, anytime Monday to Friday. You can book online at foxbendgolfcourse.com. And that is about it for around the CDGA. Check out the CDGA member golf shop online. We have some new polos and t-shirts that just arrived. But if you are out today, with conditions being as soft as it is, make sure you replace your divots and fix an extra ball mark, and the people behind you will be most appreciative. And that's it from the CDGA.
That is great advice, Mike. Want to say thank you so much for hosting me and, of course, our listeners today, filling in for Tyler Aki. Tyler will be back next week. I believe, Mike, you're going to be in studio with him. Enjoy the Glen Club, and go on out and find Mike and say hello at the NV5 Invitational today. That's going to do it for us here on the CDGA Golf Show. If you missed any of it, check it out on the podcast available for you on the ESPN Chicago app. Back next week at 8 o'clock. Tyler Aki will be back with Mike. Thanks for listening, folks. This is ESPN 1000.
Thanks, Jeff.